Welcome to the Gardening in the Mountains Home Gardening Show with Steve Pettis. Steve is your Henderson County agent with NC State University, here to talk gardening, answer your questions, and help you make your garden grow better. Call the Extension Office at 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com to have your gardening questions answered. That's 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com.
Brought to you by A Growing Concern Nursery and Garden Center on Spartanburg Highway, whose knowledgeable staff boasts over 250 years of combined horticulture and floriculture experience. Now taking consultations for fall design projects. A Growing Concern. There's no concern too big when it comes to growing with us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast. I'm Steve Pettis, your County Extension agent host. We're here to talk gardening, answer your garden questions, and help you make your garden grow better. You can email me at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com or give me a call at 828-697-4891 and I'll answer all your gardening questions. Remember to listen to this show again or hear past episodes. Go to WTZQ.com, click on the Features tab, and scroll down to Gardening in the Mountains. And more and more people are doing that, and we're glad. Everywhere I go, I talk about the podcast availability. And, you know, I give talks not just in this county but regionally. And so the show is being listened to regionally because it's not just good for Henderson County. It's good for anywhere in Western North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia. So if you know people, if you have friends, family who are gardeners in the mountains, even if they're not in Henderson County, refer the podcast to them so they can listen to it and learn about gardening in the mountains. As usual, I have lots of classes coming up. You can find out about those at bullingtongardens.org. And speaking of Bullington Gardens, they're having a plant sale along with a bunch of other people. Every spring, we have numerous local charity plant sales, and I'll mention the ones I know about. First of all, Blue Ridge Community College, their horticulture program has a plant sale, and it's April 20th and 27th. Rachel Merriweather is the hort professor over there at Blue Ridge Community College. In the very back of the campus are the greenhouses, and that's where the plant sale will be, and you can access that from the back entrance of Blue Ridge Community College. If you look at a map, you'll see how that works out. And they have great plants there. They have a good variety of everything from vegetables to native plants, and I think particularly they're focusing on native plants this year. So if you're looking for that sort of thing, go there. Another great plant sale is Bullington Gardens, April 25th and 27th. Their plant sale is amazing. It really is. And the sheer quantity and quality of the plants is really great. So check out Bullington Gardens plant sale, April 25th and 27th. And East Henderson FFA will have a plant sale on May the 4th from 8 to 2 p.m. North Henderson FFA High School plant sale will be on May 11th, as will the West Henderson FFA High School plant sale also on May 11th. So those are the local plant sales that are happening. And, you know, it's great to support all these organizations as well. They use the money to run their program. So that's really great. And today I'm going to talk about gardening as an older person. You know, it's all relative, right? But, you know, relative to my younger self, I'm much older, 51 now, and I can't do as much as I could when I was first starting my gardening career. You know, there was a time when I could carry cement blocks in each hand, carry multiple potted plants in each hand, use a giant wheelbarrow and go uphill and do all those things. Well, just can't do it anymore. I can do some of that, but I can't do it though with the strength and endurance that I used to do it. So I've had to learn to work a little smarter. And you know, I had a load of wood chips delivered to my yard to be used for mulch. And moving the wood chips is relatively easy because wood chips don't retain water, and, you know, if they're not rotted. Once they decompose, of course, they hold a lot of water. But when they're fresh, they don't hold any water at all. We had a ton of rain on that pile of wood chips. And the next day I was out there digging in it, and it was dry, bone dry in the middle. That stuff just sheds water like crazy. At first, eventually it doesn't. And when it's in a pile, it does it. So it's relatively lightweight. A scoop full of it is not that heavy. I have in the past, I used to own this thing called a stall fork, S-T-A-L-L. And this is what farmers use to muck out horse stalls because it will pick up wheat straw and dung and that sort of stuff in a big clump, and you don't have to do as many shovel fulls to get it out. And so I used one of those to move mulch. Well, that thing holds a ton of mulch with each scoop. And I remember the day when I was in my, that's around 40, when I hurt my back moving mulch. Because every year I would have some delivered to my yard, and every year I expanded my beds and freshened up mulch and mulched pathways. And if you're a regular listener to this show, you know my disdain for having to mow and take care of a lawn. So I minimize my lawn so that I don't have to do all that work. And I mulch more and more areas, growing my beds so that I can plant more plants. So used to, I would get myself a big two-wheeled, double-handled wheelbarrow, big construction wheelbarrow that people would use on a construction site. And I would fill that thing up. I would use this stall fork, which probably weighs 10 pounds every time you fill it up. Then I would push this big old wheelbarrow around and dump big, huge piles of mulch around the yards. And that was in a place where it wasn't quite so hilly, so I didn't have to climb a mountain every time I wanted to do something in the yard like I do now. So, all right, so today I am not using a big giant wheelbarrow. In fact, I gave that thing away. I don't ever want to see another one again. And I got myself a little garden trolley. It's basically a 10-gallon bucket with wheels and a handle. So you just fill this thing up and you can wheel it around. You just pull it behind you, and I can carry it up and down hills and deposit a pretty good amount of mulch. It's probably the equivalent of three bags of mulch. With each load, and I make a little pile. So if I'm, like yesterday, I was mulching around a dogwood tree, and so I made piles in a circle all the way around the tree, and then once I totally encircled the tree, then I took my rake and kind of pushed the piles in towards the tree to cover the ground. And then I neatened it up and made a nice little mulched area. I'm also using those wood chips for a parking area. I don't have enough parking at the property that I just obtained, and I needed another parking spot. So, you know, you can get gravel and all that sort of thing, but that stuff's, you know, it's permanent, it's heavy, it's expensive, it's hard to move, and it doesn't look nearly as good as wood chips do. So, you know, I've used wood chips as a medium for a parking area or driveway before. It works really good. The only drawback to using wood chips as a parking surface is if you get a ton of rain, they can actually hold, you know, rain for days and days, even weeks on end, hold a lot of moisture in the ground, and then as you're driving over it, it can get mucky. That's really the only negative I've ever found to it, but I just know if it's raining a bunch not to park there. It's not a big deal for me. And it looks so much better than a gravel pad does. You know, in this parking spot I'm putting in front of my house it's literally in front of my house. So I wanted it to look nice as well. So I had, I lined out the parking area with 4x4s as a border. And then I had the tree company, a very good tree company. In fact, it's Nick Green's Tree Service. You can call him and ask him what it costs to have a load of mulch wood chips delivered to you. I don't want to talk about it on the air. I'll let Nick deal with that. But suffice it to say, it's a very good deal. these wood chips. And you can, you know, you can talk to your local tree company that you see in your neighborhood and ask them how much for a load of chips to get dumped in your yard. You just need to be able to move it. That's the big problem, because it is a mountain of wood chips when it gets delivered. I mean, it was literally 4 feet high, probably 15 feet across in all directions. It's a big pile. But just in three days, I've already whittled it down to about two-thirds of its, actually a third. It's there's only a third left. I've whittled it down to a third of what was originally there. And this is moving it with this, my little garden trolley, and not using a giant wheelbarrow. Another thing that I've started doing is I use a lightweight shovel. If you go to any of our garden centers, including the big box stores, and look at their tool selection, you will see that the tools have become more robust over time. I remember when a shovel was a wooden stick in a little shovel head, and it was often, I remember breaking those shovels because they're kind of lightweight. And in the old days, when I was a rough and tumble landscaper gardener, I needed that heavy duty shovel because I would break the other ones. Now I loathe those big heavy shovels. They're just so hard to maneuver. If you're digging a trench, of course, or digging a large planting hole, you do need one of these heavy shovels because the weight of the shovel will help you dig the hole. And I do have one for that purpose, but for the purpose of moving things like mulch or sand or soil, I use a very lightweight, very long handle, extra long handled shovel. And so I mentioned I got rid of a wheelbarrow and I use a little garden trolley. That's the first thing I've done to make my gardening work easier on my aging body. And so, cause I want to be able to garden till I'm in my 80s. I want to keep gardening and I can't afford to get hurt. So I'm taking it easy. I'm using lighter tools. So I use my gardening trolley instead of a giant wheelbarrow. I use a lightweight long handled shovel instead of a heavy duty, real heavy shovel, for scooping the mulch. And I do these things to save getting injured, hurting my back. And I can tell a difference because used to when I would finish a day's work in the yard, I would be exhausted and sore and hurting. And like I said, and before I've hurt my back moving mulch before. Now when I finish, I feel invigorated, like I've gotten a good workout, but I haven't killed myself. So, I just think that that's the way to go. So these wood chips make great mulch, and they're not too hard to move. They don't weigh too much. And talk to your local tree company about how you can get some wood chips to use for mulch. And as you get older, start replacing some of that heavy-duty gardening equipment or donate it to a gardening club or a community garden or something, or sell it. And start using more lightweight gear, and you will be able to do more gardening for longer in your life. And when we get back from this break, I'll talk more about gardening in the mountains here on the Gardening in the Mountains radio show.
This is Duke from A Growing Concern. And Henderson County, it's here. Spring weather, it's here. New inventory, it's here, arriving daily. The most unique selection of flowering trees, shrubs, perennials, it's here. Choice Isley conifers and an exquisite selection of West Coast rhododendron, pieris, and mountain laurel. It's all here at A Growing Concern, where me and the staff are happy to help you plan your spring garden and landscaping projects. So come see for yourself what's here at A Growing Concern on Spartanburg Highway.
Raymond's Garden Center is a proud sponsor of Steve Pettis' Gardening in the Mountains. The Raymond's team is committed to offering knowledgeable advice to everyone from novice plant lovers to master gardeners. Whether you need ideas for a patio container or plants for a commercial job, they're ready to help you select the right plants and offer tips to successfully complete your project or to get ideas for creating your own piece of paradise. Raymond's Garden Center on Canoga Road, just past Irkwood, open daily, where customer service is always in bloom.
Welcome back to the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast. I'm Steve Pettis, your local county extension host. We're here to talk gardening, answer your garden questions, and help you make your garden grow better. And I spent the first part of the show talking about moving mulch, moving wood chips, in fact, that I had delivered from my good friend Nick Green's tree service. He's a great tree arborist. and good worker, does great work. If you ever are looking for a tree company, for sure look him up. And he also sells wood chips. However, all these tree companies sell wood chips as well. So talk to your local tree company. If you see one in your neighborhood or if you have one you've worked with before, give them a call and see if you can get wood chips delivered to use as mulch. And so a little bit about wood chips as mulch. And these are basically trees that have been cut down and chipped up in a chipper. The vast majority of the material in the pile will be wood, but there will, in the summertime, be some leaf material in there. If it was a pine tree, there'll be some pine needles in there. If the company's chipper is working correctly, there shouldn't be very many sticks, and most of the mulch should be reduced to a little 1 by 1 inch little flakes, little wood chips, and those are great. They work really good as mulch. Only 2 to 3 inches is all you need. When I'm renovating an area from transitioning from lawn to a bed, I don't even kill the grass underneath. I just bury it in mulch. The mulch will kill most of it, and what doesn't kill, I will clean up later. But for the most part, it takes care of it. So I move the mulch with my little garden cart, and I use my little light shovel, long-handled, light-duty, lightweight shovel. And I find that moving a big, giant pile of mulch is not nearly as onerous as it used to be when I used to use heavy-duty tools, big double-wheeled wheelbarrows and those sorts of things. So what about other kinds of mulch? So, you know, often it's convenient for people to purchase mulch in bags. I mean, unfortunately, it has the negative environmental impact of, you know, basically causing there to be a big pile of trash at the end. Of these heavy-duty plastic bags, because the bags have to be pretty heavy-duty to hold wood chips and mulch and shredded mulch and potting soil and all that. Those bags are pretty tough, and they, for the most part, I don't think are recyclable, so you basically have to throw them in the dump. So that's an unfortunate side effect of using bag mulch. However, mulch is really good for your landscape, and it looks really nice. And often, bag mulch is most people's best way to get it, because you can buy a few bags at a time, throw them in the trunk of your car, mulch a little bit as you go. You don't have to have a giant pile delivered that you have to then work on every day to get spread around the landscape. It's a lot easier to carry a bag of mulch than to just, or put it in a garden cart and move it around the yard. So bag mulch is often a good option for people. But bulk mulch, you can certainly use that. I challenge you to take the price of the mulch that you buy bulk and compare it to a similar volume of bag mulch and see what the price is, because you may find that the bag mulch is a pretty good deal for what you're getting and for the convenience that it has. And this is because most garden centers, especially the big box stores, sell mulch as a loss leader, meaning they're not aiming to make a bunch of money on it. They are using it as an attraction to get you in. In fact, look at where the mulch always is in a garden center. It's always in the very back. So you got to go all the way through the garden center, past all those beautiful plants that are tempting you to get to the mulch and the potting soil and all that. And that's by design, because the bag mulch is there to, everybody needs it. Everybody uses it. That's there to get you in there. And then you see all the plants and you want to end up buying all that stuff. So, mulch is good to add to the landscape. Comes in various forms. So you have shredded mulches, you have chips, so pine bark chips. You have various substances. You have hardwood, you have pine, you have cypress. Not a fan of cypress because of how it's harvested out of sensitive wetlands. Seems like not the best idea. However, it's great mulch and it lasts a long time and it's beautiful. It's just not very environmentally friendly and may not be around forever. Who knows? I don't even know. I think when I go to a garden center, if there is some there, there's usually only like one pallet of it. I think because of its price, it's a little more expensive. People have gotten off of it and used the shredded, wood mulch and that sort of thing. So, Pine Straw, that's another great mulch. It's beautiful. However, it's expensive and it doesn't last very long. So what I like to do is use shredded barks, wood chips, whatever, in the majority of my garden and landscape, and then use pine straw in the, you know, the showier areas, the areas where I have a planting that I'm near my front door, back door, that sort of thing. Pine bark or pine straw would look good there. Back to working smarter, not harder. I talked about throwing away your big old heavy-duty 5-cubic-yard double-wheeled wheelbarrow and getting a light-duty plastic wheeled tote that you can pull behind, or a wheeled cart. Those sorts of things are a lot easier to use. I mentioned using long handles on your tools. Little short-handled shovels should be outlawed as far as I'm concerned. And using lighter tools rather than using these big heavy-duty tools that are sold. It seems like a great idea. Lifetime warranty, super heavy-duty stainless steel shovel from the garden center that's, you know, $70. It will last you forever, but it also break your back lifting it over and over and over and over and over again. You're better off using a light-duty shovel for those sorts of things and saving that heavy-duty shovel for digging holes. Another good labor-saving tip is to use a long-handled, triangular-shaped hoe when weeding. Rather than crawling around on your hands and knees, you know, people didn't used to crawl around on their hands and knees to when they gardened. They chopped weeds. That's what my grandmother told me, that when she was young out in the garden, her and the other kids would chop weeds all day long. They would walk the rows, chopping weeds down with a hose. They kept a whetstone in their pocket to sharpen the edge of that hoe so it would chop really well. And that's a really effective way of weeding, is to chop the weeds. And I like the triangular-shaped pointed hose that you can get, because they're good for delicate, specific work. You can get right up next to a good plant and pop that weed you don't want out. You can take it and drive it into the ground at the base of a weed, and it will pop that weed right out of the ground. You can also use it just to scrape the soil or the mulch when you have like little tiny weeds that have seeded in the spring. I also use it a lot for digging. That's great for digging holes, especially if not big ones. So if I have a tray of pansies to plant, I'm not going to get down on my hands and knees with a garden trowel and dig little holes. I'm going to take this long-handled pointed hoe and chop it down in the ground and pop a hole. Chop it down in the ground, pull out a hole, and do that 18 times, and then drop my pansies or whatever other bedding plant into those holes. So all of those things are labor-saving things that can definitely save your back and as you age, help keep you in the garden. Last thing I'll talk about real quick is garden hoses and storage. So I don't know if you've ever tried a garden reel, you know, the thing you wind it up, it's like a fishing reel. Those things are always a pain. They never spool correctly. It takes two people to operate one many times, especially if it's not permanently fastened to something very strong, like a side of a house or a deck. If it's just sitting on the ground, when you go to pull that garden hose out, it never wants to come out. So you have to have one person basically sit on the hose reel while one person pulls the hose out. So another thing that does is it adds it curves the hose permanently, and that makes the hose more unwieldy. When it comes to a garden hose, the higher the price, the better, always. The cheapest garden hoses are nothing but a waste of money, time, and eventually, very quickly, they wind up in the landfill. What you want is a lifetime, heavy-duty, rubber, one-inch or 3/4-inch garden hose that will last you for the rest of your life. Always get a 100-footer. Just because you have 100 feet doesn't mean you have to drag 100 feet around, but it gives you the option of having a 100-foot reach with that garden hose. And it's really good to be able to have a garden hose that can reach in case you have a fire. If the woods are on fire behind your house, even, you know, just a little small brush fire or something, you can wheel that garden hose all the way out there and get it. And finally, storing the hose, if you don't have a hose reel, is really easy. So stretch it all the way out, lay it out, I like to, if I have a new garden hose, lay it out in the sun so that the heat of the sun can relax the rubber in it, because it will want to retain or have memory of the coil that it was in when you bought it. So you lay it out, leave it in the sun to stretch, to relax. And then you hook it to your hose bib. That's the little spigot that comes out of the side of the house. And right there below the hose bib, you start laying this hose out in a figure eight. So you just start pulling it towards you, and you lay it on the ground in a figure eight without putting any twists in it. You don't want to put a twist or a loop or anything like that. And you do this, and you start out with a really big figure eight, and you get smaller and smaller and smaller until you get to the end of the hose. That way, the next time you want to go grab the hose and walk off with it, it will dispense in such a way that it doesn't get tangled and it doesn't get kinked, and your garden hose will last so much longer if you're not kinking it. So, and never, never pinch off the end of the garden hose to turn it off. Get you a valve for the end of your garden hose so you don't have to pinch the rubber, which will eventually break the rubber. And there we go. Already used up all of my time here on the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast. Thanks for listening, and happy gardening, everyone.
This has been Gardening in the Mountains with Steve Pettis. Steve is your Henderson County agent with NC State University. If you'd like to ask Steve a question, call the Henderson County Extension Office at 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com. That's 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com. To listen to this show again or hear past episodes, go to WTZQ.com. Click on the Features tab and scroll down to Gardening in the Mountains.
Brought to you by A Growing Concern Nursery and Garden Center on Spartanburg Highway, whose knowledgeable staff boasts over 250 years of combined horticulture and floriculture experience. Now taking consultations for fall design projects. A Growing Concern. There's no concern too big when it comes to growing with us.